Wow. Hi, everybody. There's so many people. It's pretty scary, really. I was just thinking, we were saying how, you know, you might have come here tonight and you might feel like a stranger, thinking, oh, I don't know any of these people, or there's a lot of people I don't know. But actually, everyone here is a stranger, because I can look around here and there's a lot of people I don't know. So, you know, I feel like a bit like a stranger as well. So it's just to encourage us that we're all strangers together. So... he's not. I was just I'm Margaret anyway, so I hope you had a good time in your first week small group, and I hope you're excited about the next 12 weeks, and I'm so excited, and I hope you are, because God wants to do so many things in our hearts and our lives, and unexpected things. You might expect certain things or ask for certain things, but just to be prepared that you might receive and learn something totally new or different to what you expected. I work in a school, a primary school, on the lunchtime, a dinner nanny. They call me the dinner mammy because my little boy goes there. So, and this week I'm inside cleaning the tables, and it's the beginning of the school year, so they have the new children, the reception class. And I was just thinking about this, how when you have the reception class, it's the reception is the place, it's like a place of receiving them in, you know, it's the new people. And I just thought about all of us here, we're sort of like the reception, if you like, we're just coming in, receiving. And just a little funny story about these children that are sort of learning to come in for the lunch. And it's a big thing because they're only 4 years old and, you know, they have to stay there all day, which they've never done before. So they come into the dining hall and get a tray, knife, fork and spoon and a cup, and they go through and they get the food and sit down and eat the food. And they're supposed to take the tray to the place where they hand it to the lady, and she gets rid of the tray and all the rest of the food they might have left. And so this week we've been watching these little ones and helping them cut the food up and everything. And I looked and I was chatting to them, and then I went away and I came back, and one child was gone, but the tray was still there. You see, they meant to take the tray away. And I looked and I said, oh, who was there? They said, oh, Ellie. I said, oh, where's she gone? And they said, oh, she's gone. And I thought, all right. So I thought, better go after her, really. So I presumed she'd gone outside, going out to play. So I walked out through the classroom, and to discover she was putting a coat on and going outside. And she said, well, I've eaten the dinner and I tried the yogurt and it wasn't very nice, so I'm going out to play, you know. So it was really funny. But I was just thinking about that and how, you know, we had to bring her back in and say, come back in, Ellie, you know, just to show you that you just need to take your tray and take it to the lady there, and she'll clean it and get rid of the, you know, the disgusting yogurt she didn't want to eat. She did it 2 days in a row. But I was just thinking how God wants you to be like that little girl, Ellie, in the sense of he wants you to come like in a receiving mode, to come receive, like she got a dinner and she sat down and ate it. Well, she ate what she wanted and then she went. And I think God wants you, he doesn't want you to carry the tray like she just thought, oh, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going out now, you know. And I think God wants to say, you know, you don't have to carry your tray and clear up all your mess and everything, you know, just come in every week. And take your tray, if you like, and take the food you choose and receive it and eat it and enjoy it and then go. Don't feel like, oh, I better take the tray and empty it and get rid of all. I think it's just, you need to be in that place of just receiving, you know. So receive and enjoy. I hope you don't get any disgusting yogurts. So this is week one, and the first week of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and who he is, what he does, where he goes, and where he wants to live. So the Holy Spirit, when you think of the Holy Spirit, who do you think the Holy Spirit is? Now, we know we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, the three persons in the Trinity. And when you think of Father, what do you think of? You might think of, you know, God, he's the Father, he's my Father. He's almighty, you know, he's powerful and he's loving. You can imagine a father. And when you think of the Son, you can think of Jesus, you can think of him being a man, or you can think of him being a baby. You can imagine him. But when we think of the Holy Spirit, it's a bit harder, isn't it, in a way? You think, Holy Spirit, you like can't get a handle on him, if you like. And but actually, if you've read the Bible or anywhere in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described in a few different ways, as in represented in different ways. He's represented as a dove. You know, when Jesus was baptized, it said the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove. And then the Holy Spirit is represented as water, living water. Also, the Holy Spirit is represented as fire and also as wind. So the interesting thoughts about the Holy Spirit as a dove. So you think of the dove being like gentle, or water being cleansing or refreshing, or fire is quite a bit scary. It can be powerful, cleansing, or wind. It can be like a rushing wind, which he talks about being like a rushing wind, and that can be a bit scary as well. But tonight, I just want to encourage you to realize that the Holy Spirit is a person, you know, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we can sometimes think, oh, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's a force, you know, and people say, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to move, or the Holy Spirit's moving. But the Holy Spirit is a person, and he wants us to know him, to have a relationship with him. And so when we think of Jesus, it says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And that was the Father speaking to Jesus. But the heavens opened, and it says the Holy Spirit, it says Jesus saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him like a dove. And I just thought it was interesting how the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove. And if you remember when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, he came on them as well. And I just wanted to encourage you that the Holy Spirit wants to come to you like he came to Jesus. And like I say, he's not a force, he's a person. I want to try and help you to understand, in a sense. When my mum died, I was with her when she died, and in the hospital, and I was talking to her and she was talking to me, and I knew she was going to die. She was dying, you know, very soon, and it was an amazing experience. I don't know whether you've ever been with somebody who's died, but I was talking to her, and gradually, you know, her breathing stopped, and then she was gone, and the nurse came and said, she's gone, you know. And it's a bit like that, in the sense, when I saw my mum there, I saw her physical body there on the bed, and I thought, it was an amazing experience, because I thought, that's not my mum there now. It was like, it's like a shell, if you like. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, your body, how you can look after your body, but actually, who you are, everything about you is held within that body, you know. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, your emotions, your personality, who you are, who God created you to be, the very person you are, is held within your body. And so when my mum had died, her body was there, but that person of my mum was no longer there. And that's like the Holy Spirit, if you can think of it like the Holy Spirit, like that. You know, he's a spirit, but he is a person. And the Holy Spirit, actually, he wants you to receive him into your life. And he wants to be in relationship with you. Like the Holy Spirit was in relationship with Jesus and the Father, the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with us. And I just want to encourage us tonight to begin that relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you might have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but if not, to encourage you tonight to begin a relationship with him. And it's almost like you have a choice in that. You know, if you can imagine somebody who you were close to, like say, me and Martin, some of you, know Martin. You might just know his name, Martin. Some people might know him a bit more. They might know when his birthday is. And other people might know him a bit more. They might know his dislikes, his likes. They might know him a bit more, that he enjoys swimming. There's different things, there's different levels of relationship, and you can imagine it for yourself, for different people you know. There's people you know sort of just very unfamiliar, just very basic things about people, or you can know people in a very deep, deep way. And you, so when you think of the Holy Spirit, how do you think about the Holy Spirit? What do you think about, and how do you think about him? You might think, oh, well, I know he's a third person of the Trinity. I know his name. I know he's represented in the Bible. He comes like a dove, or he comes like a rushing wind. You might know all of those things. But the question is, do you know what the Holy Spirit loves? Do you know what he hates? Do you know what he wants to do in your life? Do you know how he works? And do you know that he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you? And just tonight, I just want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit is a real person, and you can talk to him and he will speak to you, and he's wonderful and awesome, you know. And to have the Holy Spirit in your life is absolutely wonderful, because he wants to do you good, and he wants to encourage us, counsel us, direct us, all these things. And he's there for every one of us. So tonight, that's my first encouragement, is for you to have that relationship with him, and to choose to allow that relationship to grow. And it basically is just to talk to him every morning. You know, I don't know how you pray, you know, if you pray the Lord's Prayer or talk to Jesus, but talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me today, lead me today, guide me today, you know, all these things, and he will. He gives you every good gift. So the Holy Spirit, where does he want to live, or where does he live? Now, the Holy Spirit, he lives in Jesus, and he comes from the Father. And actually, he wants to live in you, which is quite amazing, really. Now, I don't know whether you know the story about Jesus, you know, when in John's Gospel, where he goes to the well, and he says to the Samaritan woman, give me a drink. And his disciples had gone away. And she said, how is it you asking me for a drink? And he said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink. And he was asking for a drink of water. And you would have asked him to give you living water. And Jesus goes on, you know, to say there, he said, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that's the Holy Spirit. He wants to live in you. And I don't know whether that scares you or not, but this lady, a Samaritan woman, Jesus was offering her the Holy Spirit. And this woman, if you read the story, it's an interesting story. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 4. And Jesus says, he talks about her husband. And she said, oh. And he knew all about her life and how she'd had husbands, many husbands. But the man she was with was not a husband. And what Jesus is saying to her is, you know, you might thirst for many things. And, you know, we might thirst for many things in life, you know, and they're just temporary thirsts, you know, and you might be quenched for a while, but actually you'll thirst again. Lots of things. But Jesus is saying, you know, the Holy Spirit, he wants to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one person who can quench every thirst in your life. He's the one who can fulfill everything that you ever need and satisfy everything that you ever need. And that's the truth. The Holy Spirit, he wants to do that for each one of us. Whatever you thirst for, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can quench that thirst. And, you know, if are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit? He wants to live in us. And it says there, Jesus said, when you ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you up, he wants to become that source within you, that fountain within you. And so basically, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have that fountain within you, and it's a fountain that will never leave you. Within, inside of you, you can have that fountain where the Holy Spirit can live. So every day you can say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Give me all that I need today, Holy Spirit. And you can do that, and he will do that for you. If you think about going into the desert, it's like, you know, if you're thirsty, if you go into the desert and somebody offered you a cup of water, you might think, oh, yes, please, and take that cup of water and drink it. But very shortly, you'll be thirsty again. Somebody might come along and say, here's a bucket of water. So that might last you a little longer. But if somebody says, oh, look, just there, there's a fountain of water that never runs dry. And you think, oh, that's the place I want to be, right there where the water never runs dry. And that's the Holy Spirit, because for you, there might be things you might think, oh, this will satisfy me, you know, this will quench what I need. And it might, for a little time, just like a cup of water or like a bucket of water, it might be even be longer. But actually, only that fountain, that Holy Spirit, can quench every single need in your life, you know, whatever your need is. And we all have needs. And the Holy Spirit, if you have a relationship with him, he can fulfill every need and quench every thirst. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And it says, now he said this about the Spirit. So Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So we can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me this living water. Give me your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. And he wants that for you, you know, for you to be quenched for your own life. And also it says, and out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. Not only will he fill you up, but out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So that's the Holy Spirit. He wants to work in you over these next 12 weeks, and he wants to work through you. And it's his work. You don't have to strive to do it. It's to receive him, you know, receive him into your heart. Be filled up and allow him, the Holy Spirit, to be rivers of living water flowing out of your heart. And you'll see him doing that to other people. And it'll be wonderful to see that God will allow his Holy Spirit flow from you to other people. Okay, the Holy Spirit, what does he want to do? Well, he wants to do many things. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, you might have read the story. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And actually, I was thinking about this and thinking, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? Actually, he wants to do many things. And he wants the good news out through us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And when the disciples were in that room and the Holy Spirit came upon them, it says, well, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem when he was going up to heaven. He said, don't leave Jerusalem till you've received the promise, Holy Spirit, power from on high. And it's like, he says, I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. So if you can imagine yourself, you know, standing there and the Holy Spirit, you might want to do this tonight, you know, if you feel like, I need power, I want power from God, the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about like dynamite. You know, when you look at dynamite, it's, you know, it doesn't look like anything, does it? You know, but actually there's great power in dynamite. When it's lit, you know, there's pretty scary power in that dynamite. And the Holy Spirit, when you think of power, you know, people might think it's a physical thing. But actually, the power of the Holy Spirit can be a very quiet thing, because the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to clothe you. Imagine yourself standing there with power from on high. And it's like God wants to give you power to live your life, to follow Jesus, but also to live your life every day, whatever you do, wherever you are, to give you power and strength inside. And it's a deep thing. It can be a deep thing. So if you can imagine power coming down on you, like being clothed with a garment, power from on high. And he wants to clothe your whole life with power to do everything that he wants you to do. And you know, it says that the Holy Spirit Also, when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And, you know, sometimes you can feel like, well, I want to tell people, you know, that they're sinners. You know, they need to know they're going to be judged, or they need to know that Jesus is the way. But actually, it says the Holy Spirit is the one who does the convincing. Because sometimes you can feel that. You can feel like, well, I'm going to tell these people that they need Jesus and they need God and they need to repent. You know, you might have done that yourself. But the awesome thing is, Jesus says that his Holy Spirit is the one who convinces them. It's quite releasing to think that, isn't it? Oh, thanks, Lord. You do the convincing, because I can't convince them. So that's the Holy Spirit. It's him. You can pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, work in people's lives. Use me. But you do your work in them. I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. And there's Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. And you see what he says? He says, you know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. It's not it. It will abide. He's talking he. He's a person, the Holy Spirit. And this is the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. He never wants to leave you. This is the thing he wants to do. He wants to stay with you. You might feel alone, or you might feel people have let you down. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, he says, I want to stay with you. I will never leave you. And he's the one who gives you the courage and the boldness and strength and power to do everything. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. I'll just go back. There was a little story I didn't tell that when we thinking about the Holy Spirit being somebody who really is a person and wants to talk to us. When we were about 19, Martin and myself, we were walking in Middlesbrough town talking about something, a decision we needed to make. And we were, you know, you might do this in your own life, you know, talk, what we're going to do, you know, should we do this, should we do that? If we do this, this might happen. If we do that, that might happen. What should we do? What should we do? And as we were walking through the streets in Middlesbrough, some children were playing just on the pavement, jumping on and off the curb. And this little girl just sang out, ask the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds weird, doesn't it? But actually, she just sang that out towards us. You know, as we were talking and trying to decide on something, she sang, this little girl, we didn't know her, ask the Holy Spirit. And we like looked at each other and went, whoa. And we thought, oh, we never thought of that. You know, and you can go on in life like that, can't we? And think, you know, trying to work things out in our own strength and our own wisdom, if you like. You know, I know what to do. I've done this before. And we often forget to pray and ask the Holy Spirit. But I just want to encourage us to do that. If we can, you know, first, Holy Spirit, show me what to do. It might be easy, it might be simple, but often you can try and do something or work something out and then discover you haven't even asked God about it. Just to encourage us to ask the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, where does he want to go? Well, actually, the Holy Spirit, wherever he wants, you know. The Holy Spirit comes from heaven and he comes to live in us, to work in us, and to work in other people as well. I mean, it's amazing how if you pray for other people, even people who don't know God, you know, you can ask the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, you know, and he does. And some people, you know, who don't know him can do things and think, oh, I don't know why I did that. And you can think, oh, I know why, because you might have prayed for something. But the Holy Spirit, in Acts it says, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And this is the disciples. They were waiting. Jesus said, wait. And I think if you were in that room, what would you think? Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Because they might have been sat there thinking, well, what's the Holy Spirit going to look like? Or what's going to happen? They might have been talking about it. You know, how will we know when the Holy Spirit's here? How will we know what to do? And imagine it. This mighty rushing wind comes into the room. Do you think, they might have been screaming, mightn't they? I don't know. I think I would have been, some people a bit more freaked out about things like that. But And he came like that. I suppose it's like, so they recognized he's here, Holy Spirit's here. Mighty rushing wind came in. And it says here, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, that's what he does in your life, you know. He leads you, he guides you, he takes you. Not in a freaky way, you know. You can be a bit strange, or you can get super spiritual about things, but the Holy Spirit, like, he's like a dove. He can be gentle and take you and lead you and do things in you and through you in a very gentle way. Or like this mighty rushing wind, he came in. And I think it's interesting how he came in while they were all waiting there, sitting down. It says they were sitting. Because you can imagine, you know, often people say, right, we're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray and stand up, put your hands out or whatever? And it's kind of like, oh, I'm expecting. But I thought it was interesting how here, when you read it, they were actually sitting down. But the hearts were actually ready to receive. They were waiting. They were expecting. And while they were sitting there, you know, this mighty rushing wind came in. And I think it's amazing how after this had happened, I think nothing was said, but basically the next thing you read is that they're out there. They're out of that room because they were pretty scared in that room, but now they're out of the room and they're outside telling everybody about Jesus. You know, they're speaking in foreign languages. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability, every one of them, to speak in a different language. I mean, that sounds a bit freaky, doesn't it? But actually, they went out there, and every one of those people who were in that room went out speaking in different languages. So all the people that were speaking to, everyone was saying, oh, he's speaking in my language. And somebody else, he's speaking in my language. It was like God was speaking to everyone in their own language, the good news about Jesus. And that's pretty awesome, really. So when you think of the Holy Spirit being like a mighty rushing wind, it's like he wants to come into our lives like that. So if you can imagine like your life being like a house, if you like, you know, and you have a choice to open the windows or open the doors and allow, like tonight, the Holy Spirit to come in. I mean, you might want to do that later, to close your eyes if you want to invite the Holy Spirit in, like a mighty rushing wind, so he can come in and clean things up, if you like, to blow cobwebs away, to blow everything away out of your life that you want away. And the Holy Spirit can do that. He can work in a gentle way, but he can also work in a very powerful, rushing wind way. He can deal with things like that. Amazing. Holy Spirit can do that for you tonight. If you're willing to open the windows and the doors of your life and allow him to come in and to blow through. And if you can imagine also like your life like a sailing boat and the Holy Spirit, you know, it says there, it said, you know, the Holy Spirit, he chooses where he goes. He blows where he wills. And you know, the Holy Spirit is going all the time. He's not stagnant and just sitting doing nothing. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's moving in your heart, in your life, if you let him. And he's moving out there in other people's lives all around the world. The Holy Spirit is on the go. He's going somewhere. And the question is, you have a choice. Do you want to go with him? Do you want to go where the Holy Spirit's going? Do you want him to take you in your life where he wants you to go? And that might mean something emotional, to go somewhere emotionally, to have peace, to bring you to peace, or to go somewhere physically. Maybe he wants you to move somewhere, the Holy Spirit. And it's being willing to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to go in my life, come into my life, and I want to go with you. I want to go with you, Holy Spirit. And it's about surrender. So that's a choice for us tonight, you know. Are you willing to surrender to him, to open your hearts, open your lives, and to allow him to come in and to work and have his way? It says, and there appeared, this is in the room again, when the mighty rushing wind came, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and rested on each one of them. So when the Holy Spirit came, he came with a rushing wind, but also in that room, it was like fire came down, and there was like a flame, if you like, on every head. Now that's pretty scary as well, isn't it? you can imagine it. Like if we were in here tonight and all of a sudden we looked round and everybody had a flame on their head, it would be pretty scary. But that's what happened for them, you know. The Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit settled and rested on every head. You know, like when Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and rested on Jesus. And bless Jesus, is he awesome, Jesus? It said, after that, this is how much we need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on Jesus when he was baptized, the next part is what happens to him. It says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, without food, without water, to be tempted by the devil. So that's Jesus, you know. It's like the Holy Spirit, like it said, drove him. That was the word. It sort of like took him. That's where he had to go. And you see Jesus, I think at his baptism, that was a place of surrender for Jesus, you know. The Father was saying, you know, I'm pleased with you, son. I love you. You're my son. I love you. And I think Jesus, at that point, when he saw the Holy Spirit, it was like, I surrender to your will, Father. And this is the beginning. And it was a hard beginning, really, for Jesus, because he had to go into that wilderness on his own, if you like, with the Holy Spirit to be tempted. But the Holy Spirit was with him. And if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? But to encourage us, for these disciples who were there in that room, there was a flame on every head. And you might think, well, he's not interested in me, the Holy Spirit. What will he want to have a relationship with me? But actually, the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit is inclusive. He includes everybody. They didn't look around and say, oh, look, there's no flame on their head, but there was a flame. It came on every head. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, He won't turn away. If you ask him, he wants to come and live in you and give you everything you need. So not to be afraid. And the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, actually, he wants to come and live in us, to work in us, to love us, to fill us, and to guide us. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll just go the wrong way. We need him. But the main thing is also, he wants to use you for the good news, for the gospel. Every time you read about the Holy Spirit, about them being filled with the Holy Spirit, it was that they went out and told people about Jesus. And you'll find that when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what you want to do, talk about Jesus. So tonight, we're just going to have a prayer, and I'm going to pass over to Martin. Father, I just thank you for your love. Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that Jesus is our perfect example. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to surrender to the Father's will, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be willing to surrender to do the Father's will, whatever that meant. And Father, I pray for each one of us tonight that we will be willing to open our lives, our hearts, and to drink from you, Holy Spirit, and allow you to be the one who quenches every thirst in our lives, whatever that might be for each one of us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come, Lord, in your way to every person tonight as we open our lives to you, to trust you, that you are a beautiful Holy Spirit who wants to do us good and give us wonderful gifts from heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to have a part of the night that's an activation. And every night during Route 61, there's an activation which you do. You activate your own Christian life. You activate your change, your miracle. You do. You activate it by choice. So every week we're going to give you something to do if you'd like to do it. And it can be something very similar. It might be standing up, might be going to find someone on your own, might be receiving prayer at the front. But every week will give you an opportunity to respond. Because God is a gentleman and doesn't barge his way in. He waits for you to give him permission. And so your faith is a key for your change during these 12 weeks. It's a key. Getting to know the Holy Spirit as a person is the best thing that will ever, ever happen to you. But it will not happen for you unless you want that. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you... he actually asked her for something first. He said, give me a drink, just a drink of water. Something quite simple, really. She couldn't do it because of a religious bondage, actually, and a social bondage. She couldn't give him a drink because he was a man. Men didn't speak to women because he was a Jew and she wasn't. But he said, you know what? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would have given him a drink and he would have given you living water. Jesus doesn't ask you to give what you can't, but he does ask you to give what you can. And when you take these steps of faith, they are what activate the power of God. Something begins to happen because you've given the right to do it. You know, when you start a journey, Route 61's a journey, and right now the engines, the jet engines, are just going to come on. You're sat in the plane, but you need power, the power of the Holy Spirit to take you on this journey. And who switches the engines on? Who's in the cockpit? You are. Not us at the front. You'll see as these weeks go on that actually this is about you and God, not us and God, not us and you. This is absolutely between you and him. And when you switch them on, then something happens. Something really happens. You take a step of faith and something begins to change. A few years ago, I was in Uganda preaching and we went to the equator. And you know, the equator is where the middle of the earth, isn't it? And I didn't know that it was an actual line. I mean, for us, it was a line on the road that they'd actually drawn in the middle of Uganda, driving along a road. Oh, here's the equator. And there was this white line drawn on the road. It said northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, top half of the world and the bottom half of the world. And I thought it might be a mile wide or something, or a bit blurry, but apparently it isn't. Apparently it's a definite place where you can step over. And they had different little water canisters that you could pour water in to prove that this is the equator. And if you poured the water in the little canister on this side of the line, the water spun this way every time. If you put the can over the other side of the equator, you poured the same water and it spun the other way, the water, every time. Every time you flush the loo, it spins a certain way. If you put the can right in the middle of the line and poured it, the water just went straight down. It was quite awesome, really. Thought, wow, I'm on the equator. I'm right in the middle of the world. One little step takes me to the northern part of the world, where things work one way. Another step takes me in the southern part of the world, where everything works the other way. It's like that with faith, with these activations. One small step of faith can make everything in your life work the other way it's been working. Everything might have been going downhill from this to this point. But when you take steps of faith, like coming on this course, responding to the activations, you're giving God permission to change your world, to change everything about you and in you. So these are very, very important, these activations. And I think what we'll do tonight is this. We'd like to come and pray for you, lay our hands on you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But for us to do that, we need your permission. And so what we'll do is we'll pray, and then in the next 20 minutes, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, and you're giving God a yes, and saying, yes, start Route 61, please, then, and you know what? You might not be able to do that tonight. That's fine. Just come next week. And come the week after, and there'll come a point where you'll be able to do that. And that's all right. But if you want to get going quick, which I'd recommend, respond tonight and let God fill you with that Holy Spirit. Get the engines on. Get to know God for real. And like Margaret said, it's to do with surrender. How will God come to me, really? I mean, I was laughing, really, when Margaret was talking because she's trying to make it sound so nice, yet sometimes it isn't. She's trying to make it sound so nice, and the more she did that, it sounded more scary to me, did you? He's going to come really gently, like a mighty rushing wind. And you know, it's not freaky, it's completely normal, and there might be a flame of fire on your head. And I was nearly running out. The truth is, we can't tell God how to do it. He's God. How will he come to you? haven't got a clue. Will it be nice? I don't know. Will I be safe? I don't know. But for me personally, I've got to the place in my life where I don't care. I know I need God. And if I don't get God, then I've had it. So that's surrender. That's the part of saying, I'm a bit scared. I don't know what you're going to do, but whatever it is, do it. Because I need help. I need Jesus. I need God. I need something. That's surrender. But until you get to that point, to be honest, you're just in the simulator. You're in the plane simulator. We've just been to Disneyland. You can get in these simulators. Oh, we went nowhere. It was really exciting. I did Route 61 and I'm exactly the same as when I started Route 61. You can do the simulator if you want, or you can really start the engines tonight. It's up to you.